Loving God, we thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Your word gives us hope. On this first day of Advent, we remember the candle of hope, that Christ came into the world to bring hope into our lives. And that in the midst of all that goes wrong in our lives, in the midst of ups and downs, trials and tribulation, in the midst of all of that, Christ still gives us hope. Hope to live now and the hope of eternal life. And so we thank him. And so, Lord God, speak a word of hope for us today. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And when the weather changes, you know what happens. Your sinuses. Okay, great. And so today, as we begin on our journey through Advent, four Sundays of Advent, we again will remember this beautiful time of anticipation and expectation. And so I want to begin by reading a little reflection to you called Getting Ready for a Visit from Jesus. Getting Ready for a Visit from Jesus. Author Doug Menendez shares a brief parable that should cause all of us to pause and reflect. Jesus called the other day to say that he was passing through and wondered if he could spend a day or two with us. Can you think about that, if Jesus called up? I said, sure, love to see you. When will you hit town? I mean, it's Jesus, you know, and it's not every day you get the chance to visit with him. It's not like it's your in-laws and you have to stop and decide whether the advantages outweigh your having to move to the sleeper couch. That's when Jesus told me he was actually at a convenience store out by the interstate. See, Jesus was right around the corner. I must have gotten the Bambi in the headlights look, because my wife hissed, "What is it? What's wrong? Who is that?" So I covered the receiver and told her Jesus was going to arrive in 8 minutes. They knew the time. And she ran out of the room and started giving guidance to the kids in that effective way that a Marine drill instructors give guidance to recruits. My mind was already racing with what needed to be done in the next 8 or 7 minutes so Jesus wouldn't think we were reprobate loser slobs. I turned off the TV in the den, which was blaring some weird, scary movie. I'd been half watching, but I could still hear screams from our bedroom, so I turned off the reality show it was turned on to. Plus, I turned off the kids set out on the porch, the sun porch, because I didn't want to have to explain John and Kate plus 8 to Jesus, either 6 minutes or now. My wife had already thinned out the magazines and had been accumulated on the coffee table. She put Christian Today on top for good first impression. 5 minutes to go. I looked out the front window, but the yard actually looked great thanks to my long hard work, so I let it go. What could I improve in 4 minutes anyway? I did notice that the mail had come, so I ran out to grab it. Mostly it was Netflix envelopes and a bunch of catalogs tied into recent purchases, so I stuffed it back in the box. Jesus doesn't need to get the wrong idea 3 minutes from now about how much online shopping we do. I ran back in and I picked up a bunch of shoes left by the door, tried to stuff them in the front closet, but it was overwhelming with heavy coats and work coats and snow coats and pretty coats and rain coats and extra coats. We live in the South. Why'd we buy so many coats? I squeezed the shoes in with 2 minutes to go. I plumped up sofa pillows. My wife tossed dishes into the sink. I scolded the kids and she shooed the dog. With 1 minute left, I realized something important. Getting ready for a visit from Jesus is not an 8 minute job. Then the doorbell rang and there was Jesus. My sermon title is Ready Every Day. See, because we won't know when he's coming. Isn't that what the text just read? He could be showing up right this minute. I've read this thing and made me laugh so last night reading it. Don't know when we may not even have 8 minutes for Jesus to show up. So we have got to decide that we're going to be ready every day, right? And so, you know, today marks the beginning of this season of Advent, a time of preparation, a time of going toward the coming of the Messiah, a time of great expectation and great anticipation. But exactly what is it that we anticipate? What are we getting ready for? What do we expect to happen when we say Advent? You know, yesterday I was saying to a young person about Advent. One of the young ladies who are going to read here, she doesn't come from a Methodist church. And even people in the Methodist churches or the mainline churches don't know about Advent. It's just one of the traditions of the church. She said to me, Pastor, what does Advent mean? She's a Christian, and she's brought up in a Christian church, but she doesn't have a clue. You know, the faith church that they say all these people are coming to, they don't have a clue what Advent is. I mean, they don't call it Advent, right? They're waiting for Christmas, right? They don't call it Advent. So sometimes we say, oh, Advent is coming. You know, it's an inside story with all of us information that are Protestant Christians. So we got to tell people what it means, Protestant or Roman Catholic. They don't know. They understand hope and peace and love and joy. Jesus brought all of that, but they don't. So what do we expect to happen? Do we anticipate the end of the world, as some religious cults always do at this time of year? You know, their religious cult that do believe that this time of the year, when you're anticipating, it's going to be the second coming of Christ. Or are we preparing for yet another month-long shopping spree? How about that? It started yesterday. It started on Thanksgiving Day. There was Thanksgiving Day. People don't even eat their turkeys at home anymore. They didn't have time. They were at the stores. Do you know that? They were at the stores at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, right? They weren't talking about Advent. Then there was Black Friday, right? And then there was Small Business Saturday. And then there is, I don't know, there's more shopping Sunday. And then tomorrow is Cyber Day, right?
Cyber Monday.
It's just a whole series of shopping. Nobody's worried about Advent, right? Are we preparing for the suicidal traffic jams at the mall or the general atmosphere of desperation? Did I get the right thing today? Are we getting ready for depression, the anxiety and even rage that accompanies the secular holiday season? These are all the things that happen. I mean, as I'm writing my little notes, I'm thinking, this is what happens. People get mean at the stores. If we allow ourselves to get caught up in the consumer Christmas, and I firmly believe that we in America celebrate two events on December 25th, we can easily find that instead of preparing to sing O Holy Night, we will find ourselves living out holy nightmares. Or are we preparing our hearts and spirits to receive again the coming of the Christ child into the world? What are we preparing for? You see, the Advent we celebrate in the church, the one that has nothing at all to do with the number of shopping days left until Christmas, is altogether different. The one that we celebrate as Christmas is altogether different. And Isaiah is going to remind us of that. The future house of God. Briefly in Isaiah, we read this beautiful words that says the prophecy Isaiah had gone forth to the people concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. So the people had heard this word. They were waiting to get this promise from God that the Messiah would come, right? This was going to be the messianic era. They were waiting for the Redeemer, the one that was going to take them out of Babylonian and Assyrian and all the captors that came for them, the hardships they were bearing. Remember Isaiah, these prophets were prophets to the children of Israel when they were what? Under different captivities. So they were bearing hard times. And they were waiting. And so in verse 5 he says, how house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the world. Do you know they said yesterday on the news that this Black Friday we spent $3 billion shopping? They said it went up 11%. You see, there's no hardship. We are not facing the hardship these folks are their people are facing hardships. Yes, they are. But a lot of us are not, and if we are, you would never know, because we got a little plastic thing called a credit card. Do you know we got the little plastic thing called a credit card, right? We got Discovery, we got MasterCard, I got a couple myself. We got American Express. When we can't debit it, we credit it, right? And so,
it's coming,
and then it just comes to you. So these folks were really in hardship. And Isaiah was giving them the promise. Last week I reminded you that they had to wait a long time for the Messiah to come. But they have the hope, that's the first candle of Advent, they have the hope that God would send a Redeemer.
Amen.
They were waiting. They didn't know when the Redeemer came. They all didn't accept him. We don't have to go into the New Testament. But they had the hope that God, the God of Yahweh, the God of Israel, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of their forefathers, who had promised them, who had brought them into the promised land, right? They know the story, who had given them lands that they did not purchase. That God was going to bring the Redeemer. So they had the hope. First candle of Advent. You know, sometimes the candle of Advent are moved around. I moved our candle around to kind of match that banner, right? So it's hope is always first, but sometimes love and peace changes the joy, but we're going to follow that order. As long as you have the four things. So hope is what they had. Hope they had, and they waited. And that hope kept them waiting generations to generations to generations. Hope is a strong thing, you know. You know, people, if you lose hope, you can lose everything. Do you know hope? To have hope that it will get better, to get to hope that you will be redeemed, had hope that you could live off hope. Do you know that? You could live off hope. Hope that God is going to take care of it. Hope that God is going to find your job. Hope that God is going to heal your body. Hope that God is going to bring your loved one out. You see, they had hope. And they had to learn that they needed to be what? Ready every day. Because in none of those prophecies were they told when the Messiah was going to come. And we see that in the gospel. Right? We didn't know when the Messiah is going to come. But we had to be what? Watchful. Didn't know. That's why the text said the necessity for watchfulness. Do you know we're here today, friends, and Jesus could show up right now again, his second coming? Do you know the skies could open up now, this roof could open up, and Jesus could just appear? We don't know the time. Because we are reminded in the gospel, Jesus would tell them that, you know, we don't know the exact day or hour. You know something I thought about? Do you know when Christmas is finished, December 31st? We're finished with December. Do you know there are people who start shopping for next year Christmas? You know, come January, people start buying lights and cars. You know people do that? You know, they go to the store after Christmas. Some of them go on December 26th, 27th. They bring back what they don't like and they start buying for next year. You know why? Because Christmas always comes on December 25th. Stay with me. They know, we know for a fact. When people say they are not ready, you know there are shoppers who are not ready. Christmas Eve on the 24th. At 11:30, they're in the store trying to pick something out, as if Christmas, December 25th just showed up. It always come on December 25th, right? So we know the date. So folks are what? They're ready. They start shopping. They're those who just start shopping, and they shop January, February, March, 11 months they shop, and how many days? And 24 days for Christmas. They keep shopping because they know it's going to come. December 25th. And there are others that know it's going to come. And on the 24th, at 11:30, 11:59, if you will, they're still in the stores if it's open. Right? So now, Jesus doesn't want us to do that. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't have a clue when he's showing up. He says, but the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even the angels in heaven know it. Not even the Son of Man, not even Jesus himself, only God knows it. Can you imagine, church? We got to be ready. How are we going to get ready? No one knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in the time like Noah. In the time, remember, they didn't know when the flood was coming, right? They did not know. He said, before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time, you know, up to the day Noah boarded the ark. Just like how we are having a good time. Are we having a good time? We had a wonderful time, and we don't know when God is coming. They knew nothing until the flood swept away everything. He says the Son of Man arrival would be like that. Guess what? Two men would be working together in the field, and one is taken away. Akio, are you still here? Because you could be caught up to meet him right now. Husband and wife could be lying in bed, and somebody will be gone. Marilyn is still here. I'm just looking across because one of us could be gone if God is coming now, right? If he's returning, right? One would be taken. That's that story, the Left Behind series. It could happen immediately. You know, that whole popular series, Left Behind, when the Lord is coming. So he wants us to stay awake, stay alert. Does it mean that we should never go to bed and sleep? No, it doesn't mean that. We got to sleep, don't we? Because we can't just sit up and don't sleep. He says, you have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know something. You know that if I like this little thing he said. If the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant. Just like that. If you know that somebody's going to break into your house, it's not wonderful that Jesus said that. Jesus is so smart, isn't he? If you know that somebody's going to break into your house, you'd be there with your shotgun. We wouldn't even have the dogs. We'd have our shotgun, wouldn't we? And we'd be waiting for them because we know that they're coming to steal us. He says, you have no idea, so you better be ready. Ready every day. So how do we get ready every day? Apostle Paul tells us, and it's not big, it's not major things. He says, listen, besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now, and the moment for you to wake up from your sleep. What Apostle Paul is telling us, if you're not living right like a Christian, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, number one, if you have not accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you need to do it now. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. Do you know tomorrow is promised to no one? Do you know we could be here now when we don't make tomorrow here on earth? I don't want to be morbid, you know, but that happens all the time. It's a fact. Not promised to us. So Jesus has given us the hope of what? Getting it right, right? He says, for salvation is nearer to us than when we became believers. He says, now what should we do? Paul says, let's put aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. When we put on the armor of light, what are we doing? We're following Christ. He says, no more reveling. You know what reveling means? When the Bible writes these words, I have to look for them. in the Greek, and then I go to the dictionary. No more reveling. That means you should enjoy once. When you enjoy, it's making a lot of noise. Have you ever been reveling? I haven't reveled. I'm too old to revel now. You know, reveling. Young people are reveling. Are you reveling, Akio? No more reveling. He says, no more, you know, partying with a lot of noise, especially with drinking and dancing. No more reveling. No more drunkenness. And then he says another word. No more debauchery. Another word that means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. He says no more all of that. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy ourselves. No more licentiousness. Another word in the Bible, licentiousness, with Paul giving us the Greek. Promiscuous and unprincipled in sexual matters. You know, no more carrying around being promiscuous. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Then he says, no more quarreling. No more jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. He says, listen, here's what you do. Don't let your flesh run your life. You know, your flesh desires all kinds of things. We desire all kinds of things. But since we don't know when Christ is coming, right, we have got to deal with the spirit man, the spirit person. We got to always think of Christ. Pray, read the word, because we don't know when Christ is coming. So we have hope today, you and I. We have hope because we are still alive. We have hope to prepare for the coming again of Christ. And so I want to close with this one little short reflection that I read. It says, ready for the rapture. After church, where she had been taught about the second coming, a little girl was quizzing her mother. Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back? Yes. Could he come back this week? Yes. Today? Yes. Could he come back in the next hour? Yes. In a few minutes? Yes, dear. Mommy, would you comb my hair? She wanted to be ready for Jesus. She was going to comb her hair because she wanted to be ready for Jesus. We may need more than combing our hair, the hair on our head, but guess what? We got time because we're here today, right? We're still living and breathing and moving, so we can be ready for Jesus. Ready every day. Amen.